Moncrief on News Talk.
Now we're kicking off with work. Post holidays, that mood we have in our mind after a holiday where we're thinking we need to change it all. We need to fix our entire lives and we need to fix work and we need to change things. Have you come back from taking time off more determined than ever to set boundaries with work? Well, you're not alone, as experts are declaring that people are choosing to decenter their jobs from their lives and focus on a better work-life balance in order to avoid burnout. And with a new report from the Department of Finance showing that we are working 2.5 hours less a week now than we were before COVID, have our attitudes to work changed completely? Career psychologist and author of Total Reset, Sinead Brady, joins us now on the line. Good afternoon.
Hi, Fionnuala. How are you?
I want to talk about this report that's published today. It's suggesting that people are working less hours now than they were 5 years ago. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what the report suggests. And I've actually just taken a read of the report before coming on to try and get a feel for it. And while the report has some great insight and offers some kind of idea of the labour market, particularly the idea which I love to hear is that the labour market has become more diverse. So we have more women working, more ageing employees, and we have more people from different and diverse backgrounds in the workplace. But what disappoints me so much about this is that they're talking about productivity, Fionnuala, through the lens of output per hour, which is such a disappointment to see, because, and I know we want to talk about boundaries and all that type of stuff, but if we're going to measure productivity through the lens of output per hour, I mean, we're really forgetting the fact that people aren't robots. And that's where people are coming back from holidays and going, I've been measured on productivity per hour.
It's very as if I antiquated, isn't it?
It's really, and I'm glad you've used that word, because that's exactly the word I've been thinking about. It's so antiquated. I mean, the report has brilliant things in it, but this overarching idea that we're working 2.5 hours less than before COVID and that we are less productive and that we need to be more productive is so antiquated. And people are coming back, and I'm seeing it on the ground at every level. So I work in organisations and I work with people. And I've been talking about this since the book Total Reset came out. People want something different and they want to be involved in their career, but they also need boundaries. And if we continue to talk about needing more productivity from people, when people are giving so much to their work. And the thing about measuring this productivity as an output per hour means that it doesn't reflect how knowledge work actually works, how emotional labour works, and how strategic thinking happens.
So what are you noticing then in terms of people looking for better work-life balance? How do they even go about it then? They're listening to you here and they're, you know, the light bulbs are going off in their head, but how do they start that then?
So this is a really challenging thing. In the first instance, work-life balance is such a loaded term, a little bit like the idea of productivity. So people want to be able, if you can imagine, work-life balance suggests that we are applying a mathematical equation to our life, that we should be able to find a 50-50 way of working. But in a world where we're expected to work in workplaces and work 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, whatever, balance isn't possible because we spend more time at work and in work than we do in our homes and with our families and with our friends. So what we're looking to do is actually to minimise work-life conflict. What we want to be able to do is live life while making a living. We want to be able to have our hobbies and our interests. So I meet people every single day and they are overwhelmed, overburdened, and they're also on the verge of burnout, if not in high-functioning burnout. And what that means is they're carrying all of the different things that are happening in their life. And they are trying to be productive in work. They're trying to be productive outside of work. And they're kind of stepping back and going, at what cost and to what end? And people are returning from work at the moment. And we see it in the newspapers all the time, where there's kind of, you know, you have to be back in the office 3 days per week. And, you know, there's this, I suppose, switch where people are saying, no, when we were asked to work from home, we worked from home and we did it to the best of our ability in the middle of the greatest, like in the middle of COVID, when it was so hard to manage everything and anything, we did it. And profits didn't drop, nothing dropped. So they're stepping back and they're going, now you want me back in the office? Because, you know, so people are saying, no, enough. I can't be productive at this level. I need, and we need, not just as individuals, but as a workforce, to be understood for the presence that we have, but for our meaningful contributions. And again, Fionnuala, I suppose we have to think about this and go, AI is coming in. And AI is going to be 100% productive. That's just it. We've AI agents, we've all these different things. They're going to be 100% productive. And people are going to do the things that we are good at. We're going to be creative and innovative, and we're going to talk to people, and we're going to negotiate, and we're going to do all those brilliant things that people do. And we have to recognise the depth of that knowledge, that importance of creativity, leadership, knowledge work, and understand that speed is for computers and for algorithms. But for people, it's something different. And in order for people to perform at work, they don't need work-life balance. They need to have a workplace that respects the fact that you need time off, time away, and you need to cognitively shut down. And that's what we need to be talking about.
You've mentioned a lot of external pressures there, we'll say, maybe an inflexible working, wherever you're working, they're not being flexible towards your needs and stuff like that. But what happens if the pressure is internal, shall we say? It's coming from your want to do better, to achieve more, but you're trying to straddle that alongside managing a house, wanting to keep your hobbies up, raise your children. Like, how do you do that?
So I love this question, because again, these are questions that are, that everybody that's listening to this are thinking about. And, you know, when we look at our lives in general, success and the definition of success changes during different seasons of life. So there are seasons of life, perhaps, where you don't have as many competing responsibilities as you do in other seasons of life. And therefore, you're able to give a little bit more, perhaps, time or energy or whatever it is. But if you want to try and figure out, so we aim, a lot of people aim for perfection all of the time. And actually, it's not possible to jump out of bed and give 100%, 100% of the time every day. And again, it's about stepping back and going, what's possible for me? What's practical for me? And what are the rules? So often when we have that feeling of I need to do everything perfectly or to a really high standard, the reason we feel that is we've internalized rules. And I think, you know, social media plays a part in this, where when you look into somebody else's social media, it all looks perfect. And then you feel that you have to be doing all of these things perfectly. And the summer is an example of that, in the sense that people are trying to go on holidays. They're trying to give core memories to families. They're trying to maybe look after a loved one. And there's all these competing responsibilities while also trying to work. And you're just exhausted. So it's about how much of yourself can you give? And then compassionately prioritizing. It's a tool that I use all the time in practice. I'm like, okay, is there a rule here that you've internalized that everything needs to be perfect, that you could relax a little bit and go, okay, so what would it look like to give 60% or 70%?
Yeah, that's very interesting. This report is obviously coming in this, you know, we're talking about this in the context of that post-holiday clarity that a lot of people have, where they come back from 2 weeks, a week off, and they're like, right, something has to change. How important is it for somebody to take one, time off in general, and two, I suppose, does the length of time off matter? You know, you speak to some people and they're like, God, a week isn't long enough, you need the 2 weeks. What's your view on that?
Yeah, so the research suggests that in order to function at the rate and pace that we tend to function at in our lives at the moment, we really should be peppering our annual leave across so that we have a 3-day period of time or a break in our working week every 6 weeks. So that might mean taking a Friday off or part of a Friday off and a part of a Monday off or something like that, or a single Wednesday. So having time off so that you are ready to take a longer period of time off actually works. So our body needs to shut down physically, emotionally, and in cognitively at different periods across the year. But also your annual leave, that very much depends on you as an individual. Like, some people will go on 3 weeks holidays or 2 weeks holidays, and they won't feel like they've taken a break at all because they've been in their phone, they've been on the emails, and they might as well not have been away for that length of time. But somebody else might go for a week, not touch any of that, and come back and feel refreshed. So again, it depends on the individual, it depends on your circumstance, and it depends on how much you're able to switch off when you're away. But again, we reckon the sweet spot for prolonged period of time away from work is between 10 and 14 days.
Okay, so that's Sinead's endorsement of a 10-day or a fortnight holiday, which I will happily take to the bank. That's Sinead Brady there. Thank you so much, Sinead, career psychologist and author of Total Reset.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.